across from the pit.
We there? Yep. All right, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
We'll try it again. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
Kol Hazma.
Elohim Tov.
Good. First one sounds like y'all didn't speak Hebrew or something. All right. I have this message tonight is I really need a two-hour session to go through everything that I have, but I guess I'll finish some tomorrow. I'm going to show you something on the board to try and explain to you, because what I'm really trying to do is wake people up before the trouble hits, okay? Because I know that people don't really believe that anything's ever going to happen. And yet there are things going on in the world that nobody knows about, because we don't really believe that there's a spiritual war going on. But we're going to have to really explain things to people so they can see what is really going on in the world, okay? This world is temporary, okay? Mm. Your troubles are temporary. You understand?
Amen.
You are not, I mean, the amount of time you're going to spend in eternity from the amount of time you spend here is like a drop of water in a bucket or a drop of water in the ocean, okay? It is very little time compared to what God has prepared for you.
Amen.
So that's what you should be holding on to. That's what you should be enjoying, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, do I need to show them these t-shirts before I get started?
Yes, sir, please. Okay. They saw the one last week, so I want to show them this one. This one here says what? We are soldiers for Christ, soldiers for life. And life will last a long time with us, so we soldiers forever. So I love this t-shirt.
Look closer, Pastor. So
go ahead.
There you go.
That's
beautiful.
This one's a little small for me, but don't let my wife walk out with this, Pastor Man.
No, those are for sure.
Okay. And then, of course, the beautiful blue one that Pastor Ben was telling you guys about last week. Oh, yeah, this is a girly shirt.
I told you.
Yeah, that's a girly shirt.
Closer,
of course. Okay.
There you go.
Rashawn Messianic Bible Club.
I love Bible Club.
Okay. And here's that manly shirt for men, for guys like me and Ryan. Just a plain gray. Raider gray with Rashawn Messianic Bible Club on it.
Amen. Thank you, Sandy.
Okay.
Sandy
Ford. And thank you, Sandy Ford, for the design. She's awesome. Okay. Let's get down to real business, because what I really want to do here is to, I'm addressing this not only to us, but to everyone who's in the world, to try and invite them to escape what's coming upon the earth, okay?
Amen.
It's an invitation to wake up and to understand what's going on, because we watch so many things, you know, and we cry over so many things. And I remember sitting there with Drea. We're on our way to court, and two planes are flying into the World Trade Center. And you hear guys on the radio saying, it just makes me want to join the army and go fight against those rebel Muslims over there. And we had absolutely no idea that it wasn't really a Islamic attack. The whole plan was a U.S.-based plan with the Mossad behind it, to do this, to give us a reason to go over there and then start taking over the area to get the oil. So we didn't know what was going on. So for us, it was patriotic. We wanted to do what the Americans wanted to do and go fight against the Muslims and go to the countries that they're from, Iraq, Iran. But it had nothing to do with it. We even in George, what's this guy, Epstein's house. Did you see the picture that he had? He had two frame pictures in his house. Big, beautiful frame pictures. One with Clinton with the dress on, with the red shoes, with the six fingers. And then the other one was George Bush sitting on the floor like a little kid with two paper airplanes in his hand and two destroyed towers with blocks. So it's kind of like telling you, we know that George Bush was one of the people behind it. Of course, it wasn't him alone. He had a lot of people behind it. But we should all know by now,
right,
that, you know, the World Trade Center was an inside job, not just inside Mossad and the United States government. And this was to get us over there. But we believed it, right? So how do we feel every time a mass shooting happens in the world? And we say, oh, there was a shooting at a school. Oh, there was a shooting in Las Vegas. And they killed 40 people. And they killed 50 people. And they killed, and oh, there was a shooting in a church. And they killed 9 people. We never look at, why are all these shootings happening? And who are these people that are doing these shootings, okay? I'm going to tell you, the shooters are usually MK Ultra victims that have been used by the brainwashed by the United States government to do these things, okay? Right. They are not just some random guy who said, oh, I think I'll go and buy a $4,000 gun, as if they have, as if he has the money to go buy a $4,000 gun and then right. go, I'm going to go do this, okay? There was a young lady who called the church in 2014. And she said, I've been watching your videos and I like the way you address truth, you know, and how you're showing people the truth. And she said, because I'm an MK Ultra victim.
Wow.
And I was a part of this whole thing. And she said, when I got into it, when they brought me there and they got me into this MK Ultra, I did not know what was actually going on. It was a military thing. And she said, matter of fact, she said, these three guys were with me. Where is that paper that I had? She said, all three of these guys were with me. The same, the guy that shot, that did the shooting in Colorado, the same guy that the guy that did the shooting at Sandy Hook, and the guy that did the shooting with the 9 people at the church in down in Carolina. She said she came in with all of them were in the same group. She said, how is it that all of them ended up being mass murderers and now they're trying to get me to sleep with all these old politicians and guide my life? And she said, all of this is going on and nobody's saying anything. You're the first church I've ever heard address it, you know? So she said, I'm going to make a video and let you know more. So she made a video and she sent it to me. She was cursing so bad on the video, I couldn't share it with anybody. But she was just mad about what has happened to her life. And she said, they took me to these people and they wanted all these men to be with me. And they're telling me that. And she said, I've been programmed to do this, but some part of me knows that I'm fighting it, you know. Then the next week she said, OK, I'm going to make another video and give you more information. But the next video she made, she was apologizing, saying, I took too much of my depression medicine, and I'm sorry that I made that video, and I just want to say that I apologize for making that video, and I'm going to take it down. And I went, wow, she changed fast. So either somebody got to her and told her, you take it down, right? And so she said, all of these guys that did these mass shootings were in the same MK Ultra program with her. And see, so she was trying to explain to me. She said, even the black guy that did the shooting in Texas, he was a part of the same program. So why are all these people in this MK Ultra program and then all of a sudden they pop up somewhere and now they're mass shooters or mass murderers or even bombers and things like this? because there is a group of people that are responsible for this. I'm going to read to you a from Ronald Bernard, who was one of the leaders in the Beast Bank. And this is what he said. He said, if it were not for Satan requesting sacrifices and the Beast Bank was there to fulfill them, the world would be quiet and calm. Almost every mass murder are sacrifices and are requested by Satan and planned by us. So listen, what he's saying is none of this stuff is happening by chance. They are sacrifices. World Trade Center was a sacrifice. All of these shootings are sacrifices. And we have to understand that there is a war going on spiritually in the world, and there is a plan by God to have his people escape here before it gets crazy, okay? I'm inviting you. I'm inviting people who are saved and people who are not saved to leave when the proper time is to leave, because you haven't seen nothing, okay? You haven't seen anything. I'm going to show you what one of the investigators found out. Now, this wasn't my investigation. I just went behind him and looked at it and said, let me look at this and see if it's true. Okay, so let's look at this. And it says here, was the same woman at the Aurora shooting, the same woman at the Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing tragedy. Why is this same woman there mourning at each one? Okay, so it says here at the Sandy Hook, the woman shown is in the Sandy Hook photo above is Carly Soto, who had just learned that her sister Vicky Soto was dead. A caption for the photo read, Carly Soto learned that her sister Vicky Soto is among the people killed at the school. Okay, and so they got her. She's crying here. And so they took a picture of her. But months before in Aurora, Colorado, this is the same woman. And they said, now she says her name is Amanda Medek. And she says, Amanda Medek is looking for her sister, Michaela, who sits outside the gateway of the school. And she says her sister got shot at Aurora. Okay? Then they have the Boston bombing. You would think she's had enough acting jobs, but no, she's there. And now she's Emma McDonald. And she's saying that they're there mourning with two friends about the tragedy that has happened in the Boston bombing. And then I'm thinking, then the guy said, oh, he did an update. When the bombing happened in Paris, guess who's there? This same girl mourning about, what's she mourning about this time? How's after the terrorist attack in Paris, November 15th? And so she's there and she's mourning over the deaths of the people there. And then it says they began to investigate and realize she's the same girl that was at Sandy Hook. Okay? So is that strange or what? Okay? Why are they paying this girl to be a mourner at each thing? Now, I'm going to show you something else, okay? And I'm not saying that the Sandy Hook thing didn't happen. Real kids really got shot, okay, were murdered. But it was a planned thing, and you have to understand it was planned, and you have to also understand that these were all sacrifices that are, like Ronald Bernard said, they're ordered, okay? Now, here we have this guy, Lil Wayne. You want me to bring it up to the film? Yep. Okay, we have this guy, Lil Wayne. He does a music video, and inside the music videos, boy, that looks like Justin Bieber sitting on the front. But he has a music video, and in the music video, they're sitting in a movie theater, and he's got 12 skeletons sitting in the movie theater, okay? And he releases the video. Weeks later, the movie Batman comes out, and in the theater, that 12 people get killed, okay? So then it says 12 people were shot at the theater in Aurora, Colorado. Okay? So now 12 people get shot, and watch this. You have this lady, and the guy shows up for his court appearance, and he's got red hair, and he's looking like he's a joker or something, right? And his lawyer is standing there, right? But months later, when the shooting happens in Connecticut, the same lady that's the lawyer in Colorado is a mourning mother with her husband at Sandy Hook. So it's like, okay, what's going on here? Now, in the movie Batman that they were watching, you had, when the movie came on, there was a building, and on the top of the building says Aurora, which is Aurora, Colorado, where the shooting happened in the movie. Then they're searching for the enemy, and they got this map out, and they point to, this is where the person is located, and it says Sandy Hook. So Sandy Hook and Aurora, Colorado are both in the Batman movie. Okay? So now, we're supposed to be just sleep sheep, right? And we're not supposed to notice any of this stuff, but now that you have internet, people look at the same things at the same time. It's kind of like when I do I was doing auditing for bankruptcies and for different things, but I would look at the whole picture. So if I looked at the whole picture, I could see where the cheating was happening, okay? Somebody's looking at the whole picture, and they go, wait a minute, this is the same girl that was there, and that lawyer is the same. Is now she's a mother here, and she's mourning. So you have to understand something. These shootings that happen are designed, they're planned, the people that they have to do it have been through MKUltra training, and they're triggered in their brain when to act, when it's going to happen, and then now they say, now, okay, we can do this, okay, here, or we can do that there, okay? Vegas was not one man who just went crazy all of a sudden. You understand? That was the plan, okay? Understand, the Ariana Grande or whatever her name is, she has this concert, and then all of a sudden a bomb goes off, okay? Now, she claims Lucifer worship, okay? She's a Lucifer worshiper. I don't even know if she's real or not, whether she's Nephilim or half Nephilim or a clone or what. But all of a sudden at her concert, the bomb goes off and all these people. And we think, oh, this just happened to happen. There was a crazy person with a bomb there. No, these are all planned occasions. But it's the world that you're living in. You understand? Because I'm trying to invite you, because the real war hasn't even happened yet, and look how Satan's acting. Okay? I want you to know this. MKUltra is real.
Yeah.
Mind control is real. Cloning and cloning sinners is real. You understand? And a lot of these celebrities are finding out they don't like the cloning process. You understand? They don't like this whole thing about cloning, having themselves cloned. It's what got Bernie Mac killed, okay? So you have to understand cloning is real, okay? They are cloning people. This is real, okay? Child pedophile and child pedivores, it's real, okay? And it's worldwide. A carnivore eats meat. A pedivore, same thing, children. You understand? So we're living in a time where the infestation of demons is in the world. The infestation of these Nephilim are in the world, okay? Christ has already told us that he's coming to take us out of here before Satan takes over this place. And then the real trouble starts, okay? If you want to leave, all you have to do is stay in Christ. You understand? But to think that there's not going to be a rapture and the world's just going to get better. I mean, even if I wouldn't even believe them if they said the homeless problem is going to get better, because the homeless problem is out of hand, okay? So this world is completely out of hand, It's a lot of crazy stuff going on that you will never see. Undercover, you will never know. Jeffrey Epstein was not a billionaire. He was being supported by other millionaires who are deeper into Satanism. He never had, he was given a $77 million mansion and he signed the deed and he paid $10. Who gives somebody a $77 million mansion for 10 bucks? Okay, so that just shows you this guy is being set up because he's the willing stooge to run this operation for the rest of the world and the rest of these people. Amen. We've got to wake up and realize Satan is already busy setting up the end times, okay? We don't have to talk about the concentration camps or the guillotines or the 500,000 caskets at a concentration. We don't have to talk about that. They're doing so much. And now they want to know, they say by next year, to be able to put a chip on everybody to make sure that you're a Neuralink so that you can download information. So then you won't have to say, hey, Google, what about this? They can say, we can download the information. You just got to hit an app and they'll download the information into your brain and therefore you will be Neuralinked, okay? And they said by next year, they said that'll be the big question. It will not be, you know, do you have a cell phone or it'll be, are you Neuralinked, okay? So understand what's going on in the world. Don't stay asleep, okay? And don't take your relationship with Jesus Christ as being a religion. It is the only way to God. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. There is no other way to the kingdom except through Christ, okay? Amen. There's only one ark on earth, you understand? Mm-hmm. And there's only one door to get into the ark. Yeah. There were not 12 doors to the ark, you understand? There was one door to get on that ark. Amen. And God has made the world the exact same way. There's one way, there's one door, one ark, one door. Get on or get left. Do you understand?
Amen. Get on or get left.
And with that, we can start our Bible study. So, I need us to go to Genesis chapter 7. You in Genesis?
Chapter 7.
You're in chapter 7. We're going to be in verse. Let's read verse 1 in Genesis. And it says, and the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Now, when the Lord comes, who's he coming for? The righteous, understand? So do not play games with your relationship with God. He says, go into the ark. Why? Because I find you righteous in this generation. Okay? So now Noah goes into the ark, and when he goes into the ark, he takes his family with him, right? So let's go to Verse 6. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the water of the flood. Okay? I'm going to read to 13. Am I reading it? Okay. Yeah. It says I'm reading to verse 13. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, birds, all creatures that moved along the ground, male and female, came to enter the ark as God had commanded. God commanded the animals to come to the ark. Noah didn't have to go get nothing. Okay? And it says, after the 7 days, the flood came upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life on the 7th day of the second month. On that day, All the springs of the deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heaven were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So, once the flood happens, it's Jesus is telling you that when he comes, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. That means when he comes for his people, there's going to be at least 40 days of complete trouble, okay?
Yeah.
There's going to be 40 days of just chaos. Then, let's go over to chapter 10, verse 8, Genesis.
Pastor Sandy?
Yes.
Nevada Ham, mm-hmm. She said she's afraid because she knows she's not ready. And I told her to read Romans 10, 9, and 10. Could you say something?
Read Romans 10, 9, 10. Or stop right now and say this prayer with me. Say, Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose from the grave. I thank you for dying for my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I repent this day. In Jesus' name, I thank you for making me part of your family. Believe that in your heart. Believe that he died, rose for you. And say that prayer from your heart, and you are ready, okay? And then now from this day to the time that Christ come, live it. Don't just say the prayer, now live it, okay?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Chapter 10, verse 8. It says, Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and that is why it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. The first center of his kingdom, whose kingdom? Nimrod's kingdom was Babylon. You understand?
Yeah.
So listen, the first world dictator was Nimrod. And what did Nimrod do? He kept everybody where he was, nobody's leaving. You're all going to serve under me, and I am going to be your God. I am going to be your leader. And Nimrod was the first world dictator to the point that they called him a god.
Yeah.
Okay? And his wife, they called her a god. You understand? So understand that was the first world dictatorship. Now, I wanted you to also notice one thing, too, as well. But let me continue on. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. That's all we're going to read is verse 1. It says, now the whole world had one language and one common speech. Okay? So the world is now under a single dictatorship. Now, how long did the flood last? 40 days, 40 nights, right? How long did the trouble last before they were able to get off the boat? 150 days, you understand? Which is almost, was 30 days short of 6 months, okay? And so for 6 months, from the time the church leaves, from the time we leave, for the next 6 months, the world's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get somebody to come forth with a peace plan for at least 40 days and 100 or 150 days,
yeah.
Okay? And when he comes forward, he'll present a peace plan, and he'll tell people everything's going to be okay, and everybody will accept him, and they'll believe that he's God, and that he's got the answer to everything. Only problem is, 3.5 years into that peace plan, he completely acts up, okay? So understand, God is trying to get as many people to leave at the proper time as possible, okay? That is our mission as a church. If you know someone that needs to be born again or feel that they're not ready, pray with them. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray the prayer of acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If they need baptism, baptize them. Because we're trying to get as many people to leave as possible. Because if Satan is acting this bad and the church is still in the earth, you just got to imagine what he's going to be like when we leave.
Amen.
Okay? Let's continue on. I want to now just in the eastern part of the earth. Did it happen just
global.
Where Israel was? It was a global flood. Understand what the Lord is saying. The whole world had to be flooded out. Why did the whole world have to be flooded out? Because we have the same problem, because Jesus said they had the same problem that we have now. Everybody that's living there is not completely human. And so you better understand that you have a foreign entity living in this world that's controlling your dollar system, that's controlling everything here, your entertainment, your movies, your music. They're controlling everything with witchcraft attached to it, because your music is supposed to affect you and your movies are supposed to affect you. I'm trying to get into your brain. Live your life the way Satan wants you to live your life. So I'm going to make homosexuality comfortable for you. I'm going to make profanity comfortable for you. I'm going to do as many videos about drinking being a cool thing with friends. I'm going to make marijuana, because I know that marijuana, once you get, rather it's oil or smoke, it's going to open your pineal gland, and now you're going to get demon infestation into your life.
Yeah.
So he's training you to let him take over. You understand? As children of God, we're supposed to be sensitive to these areas. You understand? We're supposed to look at things and go, that's not for me. This movie's not for me. That music's not for me. We need to be sensitive. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you.
Yes.
And you're responsible for the temple that the Holy Spirit is living inside of.
Yes.
To protect it, to make sure that it stays holy. And not do what I said that people do on Sunday. You take our Christianity and we put it on the altar of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just let it, and we just sit there and just say, give me as much profanity as you want right now, Satan, because I'm being entertained. Give me as much bad music right now because I'm being entertained. And you can't do that because you're responsible for your temple. Okay? Let's continue here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. And it says here, the righteous Avad, HaKadoshim, or the HaKadosh, or Tzadich, the righteous Avad, okay? The righteous disappear, the righteous vanish. If your Bible says the righteous perish, that's your messed up English translation. The righteous Avad, they disappear, they vanish, and no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are taken away, asaf, collected like fruit from a tree. And no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from what? Evil. That's why God's taking you away, to spare you from evil.
Amen.
Okay? Because once the church leaves, it's going to get evil. It's bad now. We don't really understand the difference between bad and evil.
Right.
Because now you have some rights, okay? You got your money in the bank. See, this is a problem. In Germany, when the Jews had the opportunity to leave, many of them felt like it'll get better before it gets worse. And many of them had a lot of money and financially were doing well. So they didn't want to just up and take their family somewhere else. They had money in the bank. Whatever happens, at least I have funds. I can take care of myself, right? But when Hitler took over, all those monies were confiscated.
Right.
You don't have anything. You got $1 million in the bank. Yeah, but it's my bank. I ain't gonna give it back to you now. If I confiscate it, the government just said you no longer have any money in the bank. No, that's impossible. I have 40,000. No, you don't. Not anymore. Not today. Get on a bus. Go to the concentration camp. See you later. You understand? You haven't seen a military take over the existence and the citizenship in a city yet.
Coming.
Because the rapture hasn't happened yet. So we still got laws. We still got rules that we go by. Understand? What these people are about to experience, all rules are off the table. You understand?
Yeah.
They don't have to open the grocery store. They don't have to give you food. They don't have to keep the prices low for you. You understand?
Yeah.
So understand what it's going through. So Christ is coming to take us out of here to what? Save us from evil. Okay? Go back to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Now, Jesus said this, "In my Father's house are many mansions." In my Father's house are many mansions. I am going there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also.
Yes.
Jesus is in heaven right now. He's coming to take you where he is. For all these crazy Jehovah's Witnesses that says, oh, we're just going to be on earth. That's not what Jesus said.
Amen.
Jesus says, I'm coming back again to take you to be with me where I am, and Jesus is in heaven.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to my Father's house to prepare you a place. Understand?
Yeah.
So this scripture in Isaiah 26, verse 20, he says, go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the door behind you. Hide yourself for a little while until the wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the bloodshed upon her. She will conceal her slain no longer. So Christ is saying to you what? To his people, you come, go into the homes that I have built for you. Wait here, right? And stay there and be protected until when? Until the wrath has passed over. You understand? Because the tribulation is judgment and the world is going to be a mess. You understand? This is God's plan for us to leave. Do you understand? You don't have to be in fear of what the devil's doing. They got cloning centers where they're cloning human beings and mistreating the clones.
Mm-hmm.
You've got movie stars that are now complaining about it, going online and saying they're sick of the cloning centers and they don't want to do it no more. And so now we have a world that, I mean, between that and the pedophilia, you're like, what is going on with this crazy world, right?
Right.
It's like, and Jesus haven't even taken us out yet. And the scripture says all the evil will be held back until he takes us out. So what's all this stuff?
Right.
Oh, this is minor stuff. This don't affect your day-to-day life yet. You can still be a Christian. Nobody picking you up. Nobody taking you to a concentration camp. Nobody trying to put a mark in your hand. Nobody trying to say, hey, you know, you can't buy or sell unless you have this mark. We're not there yet.
Amen.
Okay? The world's not there yet. And Christ has promised that he's taking us out of the world before it happens. I'm going to tell you a couple of things what Jesus said. Jesus says about Satan, he is the father of lies. They originated with him. Satan is the father of lies. So he's a deceiver, right? He's got to be deceptive because he has us thinking every time a shooting happens, some kid's gone crazy. instead of that brainwashed in a government program and waiting to do these things as ordered by them. Okay, so that's deception. We think, oh yes, it's just deception is what Satan is all about. He is a liar. He is the father of lies.
Yeah.
But listen to what Jesus says about the God who you accepted as your Lord and Savior, who promised you that he's building you a home and who promised you he's coming to take you again. He's a lie.
Right.
Impossible. Listen, one's the author of lies and one, it's impossible for him to lie. So what he says is what you want to praise God for. You understand?
Amen.
Praise God for your future in Christ. You have to. Because this life is temporary.
Yeah. Amen, Pastor.
Come on. I'm going to read this scripture. In the book of Luke, because I love this scripture. Luke chapter 21.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 34. I love this scripture because it tells us, look, something's coming upon the world. Something is coming upon this world. And if you don't have Jesus, be afraid, be very afraid.
Amen.
I'm really serious because they have no respect or love for human beings. You have no idea how much demons hate you.
Amen.
How much Nephilim can't stand you. You understand? So you have to be ready. Now look, watch this. Be careful or your heart will be weighed down with deception, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close upon you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth.
Yeah.
What Jesus says is coming. Is coming upon the whole earth. So always, be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. I want to stand before God because you know what the rapture does? It solves all my problems. I don't care what problem you have. When Jesus comes and takes you, it is no longer a problem. You understand? You don't care no more. You understand? You should rejoice in that. You understand? You should rejoice in the fact that we're on the end of this trip. I'm going to go over tomorrow the 2019 verses. The verses that have the gematria of 2019.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Someone wanted to know, do the clones know that they are clones?
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They definitely do. And I'll send you a video of someone talking about it. And he'll tell you, I'm a second generation clone. And he said, when they cloned me, they took some of the information from me. But I'm a second generation. He says, I don't even remember everything about the first one, but I'm a second generation.
Wow.
And he named some other people that are second generations, okay? That are artists, that are music artists and actors and stuff. That we think, oh, these people are our favorite actress and our favorite actors. And some of them are Nephilim and some of them are clones. And people falling in love and want their autographs. And you're asking a demon for his autograph. And you have no idea. Why do they make stars? Huh? American idols. They want you to worship something. You understand? So you're worshiping. So anything that your star says, do you know you listen?
Yeah.
You won't listen to your pastor, but if Snoop Dogg said it is gospel, right?
True.
Because I'm a Snoop Dogg fan, right? Well, if somebody says it that you're a big fan of, all of a sudden it becomes gospel. Well, you know, Johnny Depp said, yeah, who's Johnny Depp? Does he know the Bible?
Right.
I'm a big fan. And whatever he said, because they give you these. Remember, television was not always shows. They used to be programs. Television is to program. It is not to entertain. It is to program. And if you get that, you'll be careful about what you watch, because you don't want to be programmed. Let's continue. Hallelujah. How much time I got there, Pastor Ben?
You got 10 minutes.
Hallelujah. Okay, here we are in Revelation chapter 6.
What verse?
I'm looking for the verse. I believe it's verse 16. Let's see, 12, 13, 14. Testimony. Is it 6? Okay. Faithful and true testimony. How long before you judge the inhabitants of the earth? Where is that in chapter 6? Oh. It says, each of them were given a robe, and they were told to wait here a little longer. Nope, here we go. It's in verse 10. All right, so this is it. I'm going to start at verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God. Hit your brakes. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw in heaven those who had been killed because of the word of God. Okay, people are on earth being murdered because they believe in Jesus. Okay, now listen, it says here, they ask God in heaven, how long, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? They don't say judge the evil people that are on the earth and avenge our blood. They say, when are you going to judge the inhabitants, those that have been kicked down and are now dwelling with us? When are you going to deal with those inhabitants? Understand? Because what's going to be on the earth is not going to be all human at that time. We have to start really praying for people and wanting people to get saved, because we need to understand that they need to be saved from what's coming.
Amen.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 13 and finish up there till we get tomorrow. And then we're going to go over the 2019 scriptures. Revelation chapter 13. And verse 5. I'm sorry. We're going to start at the beginning, okay? And I saw the beast coming out of the sea, and he had 10 horns and 7 heads, 10 crowns on his horns, and each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet like a bear and the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave the beast the power and his throne and authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had been fatally wounded and had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed after the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? Listen, he dies and then he comes back to life. So now people think he resurrected. He got to be God.
Right.
So verse 5 says, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words, blasphemy, and to exercise authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. So he's cursing at us for leaving, right?
Right, right.
He was given power to make war against the saints. What saints? All tribulation saints. Yeah. These are the ones that are getting killed during the tribulation and landing in heaven and saying, when are you going to deal with these inhabitants? He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. That means he's not in control of just one nation like Hitler was. He's in control of the whole world.
Yeah.
All the inhabitants of the earth will worship him. All the demons will love him and worship him. All whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb. They were slain, that were slain from the foundation of the earth. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone goes into captivity, he must go. So if you get caught by the Antichrist during the tribulation, nobody's there to help you. Into captivity, you must go. If anyone is killed by the Antichrist, he said, with the sword, you must be killed. No one's coming to rescue you from him.
Right.
Okay? This calls for patience and endurance on the part of the saints, those tribulation saints. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the whole earth and its inhabitants, worship the first beast. Okay? Now look, he made all the people and all the demons worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. When he performed great miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of men. I know how he does that. It's a parlor trick, but they're going to believe him.
Right.
He deceives the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in the honor of the beast and whose wound and who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to breathe. He was given power to give breath to the image of the beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small, great, rich, poor, free, slave, to receive a mark in his hand or in his forehead so that he could not buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the mark of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number 666. He's coming.
Yeah.
The Bible that God wrote said he's coming. The Bible that the guy said, who says it's impossible for him to lie, says he's coming. The same God that said Israel will be back as a nation 2,520 years before it happened. He says he's coming. And you have to be ready. And you can't be in sin. And you have to understand the year you're living in. And you have to understand prophecy. And you have to understand that you are in a relationship with God. Not a religion. Because there's only one God and there's only one way. And somehow in your life, you have Jesus in your heart. And you have a heart to serve him, which it should be the prayer of everyone. I want to serve God. Be joyful. I'm going to show you something tomorrow that we need to be joyful. Okay? To spend a short time in testing versus eternity with the Father. Rejoice. You understand? We need to rejoice. Pastor Ben, we're going to pick up on this tomorrow. with the 2019 Gematria and how it links up, showing us that that tribulation period between 2020 and 2027. Now you realize that it's going to be 120 years when the new beginning psalm starts. 120, what does that mean to us? Shall be 120 years, and that will happen. You understand? So it's coming, and God's prophesied it, and it's our job to be ready. It's impossible for him to lie.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Hallelujah.